Omar Ashour is closely watching events in his native Egypt. Ashour is a lecturer in Middle East politics at the University of Exeter in Britain and also a fellow with the Brookings Institution. Professor Ashour, could you step back for a moment and just describe what's happening to the Muslim Brotherhood right now? It has not been outlawed yet, has it?
It has not been outlawed yet, but the indicators seem to suggest that it may be outlawed. Many of its leaders were arrested, but also it's been pushed out of the legal politics, if you wish, or the democratic process. And all the rhetorics suggest that they are going. It's going towards more exclusion of the Brotherhood and more repression towards the Brotherhood.
So this is a dangerous moment for Egypt, it sounds like. I mean, but as we saw with Algeria in the 1990s, that violence bled into Europe and led to increased radicalization around the world. What do you think this could mean if things do get out of hand in Egypt? What could it mean for the rest of the world and people here in the West?
If it got out of hands in Egypt, I think it will be a regional and an international even disaster. I think if the country descended into a civil war scenario, we will be facing with a human disaster on one side, but also a production of a new wave of angry teenagers and young men who were victims of repression, who will have no belief whatsoever in constitutional procedures or in democracy or in democratic process. And they will tell you, and they've been saying this now, you know, we voted five times and this is what it got us. The ones who had the arms are in control. It sends a message everywhere. It sends the message to Syrian revolutionary forces. It sends a message to Libyan brigades. If you leave your weapons, you're over. You will not have a say in the political scene. If you want to survive, keep the arms. The arms is your guarantee, not the constitution, not the votes. And it's a very dangerous message to send everywhere. The other problem is it can politicize other army. You know, the Turks worked really hard to get the armed men out of politics. So did the Tunisians. But looking at this coup and thinking that they can get away with it may raise the appetite of the armed forces in Tunisia, armed forces in Turkey, armed forces elsewhere to step in and make itself dominant in the political scene.
That's a pretty disheartening analysis.
I'm sorry. At the moment, this is how this is unfortunately how I see it, and it's based on patterns, really. We saw this horror movie before multiple times. Every time an elected institution is removed by force by a group of generals, and that elected institution has support on the ground, which is exactly the case in Egypt, the country cannot descend except in one of four scenarios. One of them is the military dominating the political scene, having a veto on the political scene with a civilian facade in front of it. The other is an outright military dictatorship. The third is an outright civil war or a scenario where you have a civil unrest. The patterns are very consistent from Spain 1936 to Mossadegh in Iran 1953 to Chile Pinochet in 1973 to Turkey Canaan Evren in 1980. To Sudan, Omar al-Bashir, the coup of Omar al-Bashir in 1989, to Algeria in 1992, to Tajikistan in 1992, to Pakistan in 1999. No positive, unfortunately.
Omar Ashour, author of The De-Radicalization of Jihadists Transforming Armed Islamist Movements. He's at the UK's University of Exeter. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
My pleasure.